Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Do you like my new Bible? Isn't this amazing? My name's GD. I'm part of the pastoral team here at City Life, and somebody, well, my aunt, blessed me with this amazing 143-year-old Bible from 1882, and it is unreal, you guys.
This Bible, big blessing, amazing just to see how old this is, the detail, the attention that was put into something like this, I think is really, really incredible. And, you know, this Bible right here really is the source of unusual wisdom, incredible wisdom that has lasted thousands and thousands of years. It is the living words of God captured to transform lives. Now, nothing compares to this. God's love letter, his big story, the source of true wisdom. Now, I really believe there's a difference between godly and biblical wisdom and worldly wisdom. Now, wisdom from our world, it flows with culture, it looks pretty, but it doesn't really have a lot of substance. But biblical wisdom is unusual, it's countercultural, it requires faith and patience, but it brings the best results, and it's incredible. 1 Corinthians 1:25, as we get into the Word today, I got lots of amazing, good scriptures from our Word, from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God, if there even is such a thing. The foolishness of God is still wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So, like, if there even was, like, a bottom of the barrel God's wisdom, that's still so far above anything we could come up with on our own. Now, there are lots of faces here. I don't know so many of you. I hope I get a chance to meet you. All you out in the foyer, I see you. I was out there. Way to go, you guys out there. You're still part of church. I love it. You guys are here today. Now, I know that not everyone here is necessarily on the same path of their journey when it comes to Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus. I'm just glad you're here. And, you know, I understand why you might think, well, I don't really think something like this applies to me. And that's fair. I understand why you're like, I don't know if biblical wisdom is something I need. I mean, why should I expect secular people who live in a secular culture, who believe secular things, why would I expect them to embrace biblical beliefs and truths? I understand that. But let me ask you this. In this day and age, when there is so much conflicting information and wisdom, misinformation, overwhelming stimulus, there's all this stuff. If there was an actual source of truth that was healthy and reliable and unchanging, wouldn't you want that? Like, wouldn't it be nice to just know what is actually true? What is actually something I can, like, build my life around? I would like to know that. So consider God's word, which has stood the test of time. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in here, and some of it's actually very clear wisdom. There's a lot of black and white when it comes to the Bible. Don't steal, don't lie, gossip, or murder. Honor your parents, don't get drunk. Sex was designed for a husband and a wife. Be generous, discipline your kids if you love them. God made us male and female. Forgive people, love your enemy. There's a lot of very clear, yep, that's what it says. Yep, that stands the test of time. I understand that. The Bible is clear on many things, even if the world would love to try and make a lot of those things kind of gray, kind of like uncertain. But what about the gray areas? What about in the gray areas where the Bible doesn't have specific answers for us? Okay? So maybe you might have read this and you're like, yeah, but what about this? What about the gray areas? What career should I choose? Who should I marry? Who should my friends be? Can I live with my boyfriend or girlfriend if we're not sleeping together? Can I have a beer with my burger? Can I get that tattoo? Should I use their preferred pronouns? Can I use AI to help me with schoolwork? Should I go to their wedding if I don't agree with their lifestyle? How do I navigate this family dispute? Should my kids be in public school or private school or Christian school or homeschool? Should I watch that show or should I eat that certain food? You're not going to find those exact black and white answers in here. So what do we do with all the gray area? Those questions, they don't have clear answers, and life is full of gray areas. Would you agree? There's just times you're like, I actually don't know what I should do in this situation. What is the right or wrong? I'm honestly not sure. Life is full of it. What should or shouldn't we do when there's not a clear command? Especially if you are a follower of Christ and you're like, I build my life upon the word of God, but I haven't found anything in here about that. So like, what do I do? How do we treat others who might see it differently in us? Well, I think I need to do it this way, but they are doing it this way, and I don't know if that's right or wrong or whatever. Paul, in the Bible, he tackles this issue in a letter to Roman Christians, okay? So in the early church in Rome, they are divided over some gray areas, and for them, specifically, he targets the issue of food, okay? He's going to talk to them about food. And Paul, who started that church and oversees countless churches, was like an incredible church planter, you know, really started so much of the early church. He writes a letter to help bring some order to chaos. So you can imagine, you know, let's say we're an assembly of people in Rome and a letter has arrived from Paul. He's not here, but he sent us a letter, you guys. This is huge. This is important. Paul, who hears from God, who gives us godly direction, we need to read this out. So somebody comes up in front of the assembly and opens a scroll or whatever it was, and it's like, all right, I'm going to read some stuff because everybody gathered together, and everybody's in kind of like little factions, you know, little murmuring factions. Like, we all think the same thing about this, but we're going to sit over here because we think this thing, and we're all in these maybe sections or murmuring cliques or whatever you want to call it. And so he begins to read from Romans chapter 14. He reads this section, and it says this: accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. You know, and right away, there's some murmuring over there. Oh, they're right. Oh, they're wrong. Oh, no. Okay. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything. Yeah, that's me. Okay. But another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Yeah, meat sucks. Like, whatever, right? So they're kind of murmuring back and forth. Just keep it down, guys. Let me read the thing. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. More murmuring. You should be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. So I'm right. Wait, what? Okay. Paul continues, and the guy keeps reading what Paul has written. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord. Yeah, that's me. That's why I do it. Okay. Since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. Yeah, but wait, so we're both trying to please the Lord? You know, and all of a sudden the murmuring's kind of changing. It's like, wait, so they're not my enemy or they're not doing it wrong? I'm a little confused. Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Gets a little quieter in the room. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Okay. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and itself is wrong to eat. Someone raises their hand. They're like, put your hand down, Karen. I'll get to you. Okay, let's keep going. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person, it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, this is really interesting, you're not acting in love if you eat it. Oh boy, I need to give this some thought. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve God with this attitude, you will please God. Okay? So with that attitude, you can please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Now a lot of the people who are puffed up chests and pointing fingers across the room are maybe looking down a little more. Oh, maybe I haven't really been doing this whole unity, harmony thing. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they've decided is right. Ooh, so I can decide. Okay, this is okay. No. That's not what he's saying. But if you were like, I think I'm okay. I think that it's a little gray, but I think I'm all right. Then you know what? Don't feel guilty about that. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. Wait, but it's not, you just said that with food, like it's not a bad thing. Yeah, but if you feel, right, if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you do it. For if you're not following your convictions, if you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Now, maybe the person rolls up the scroll there and pauses and everybody kind of gets up for the day. They're going to meet tomorrow, but as they begin to make their ways out the door, you know, they're kind of bumping into other people they were pointing fingers at, and there's a couple muttered like, sorry, you know, sorry about that. I was kind of a turd. Sorry about that. You know, everybody's a little more somber and sobered up from just everything going on, and many just deep in thought. So there were differing opinions, not about essential things, okay? They weren't talking about, like, is Jesus God or is there heaven and hell? Like, it was about minor things, but it was becoming a big dispute. So it was gray areas with no clear, defined wisdom. So some things we see in those verses I just read. Both sides of the argument were actually right, although for different reasons. Both sides were made up of genuine believers who loved God. Both sides were critical and uncaring of one another. We're not giving consideration to others' opinions. And they were reminded that everyone's going to stand before the Lord and give an account of their attitudes and actions. So, some takeaways. A couple takeaways on how we can navigate each other's gray areas. First off, mind your own business. Verse 1, don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Now, on inconsequential things, okay? If it's like, you do it this way, I kind of do it this way. It's not how I would do it. It's not right or wrong. Mind your own business. If it's different if it's like your buddy's having an affair. It's like, get involved, stop, like, say something. Then that's different. Live in a way that builds up and not tears down, right? Verse 19, let us aim for harmony and try and build each other up. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or anything else if it causes another believer to stumble. So Paul mentions that people could be distressed by what you eat or drink. So maybe there's certain things. You just choose, I'm not going to do that around certain people because I don't want to make it harder for someone else. They don't have the same convictions as me. You know what? This isn't a big issue. It's not a big moral issue or whatever, but I just don't want to cause a problem. So there's going to be times I might just put this on the back burner or whatever. Life is full of gray areas. So how do we navigate them? How do we actually navigate this? Now, I find that people want God to be their GPS, right? It's like, God, I just need to know the exact detailed directions of where to go. Tell me how long till arrival so I can sit back and cruise. I'm good. I just need to know all of this. But I think more often, God is like a compass. I think God is more like a compass where he will point us in the right direction, but he'll let us make some decisions on how we're going to get there. And he wants us to trust the process of following him and heading where he wants us to go. Navigating this way will take more faith, especially when we don't have all the information. When we're stuck in gray zones and there isn't a clear GPS, here's where I got to go, then I might need to pull out my compass, which might be talking to God, reading my Bible, godly input from other people I trust. How do I navigate this? How do I use a compass? God, be my compass and just point me in the right direction. I really think if God laid out everything in our lives like a GPS, then we just zone out. We just zone out. And it's like, I'm not even paying attention to what I'm doing with my life because I just know this. Yeah. I don't think it's quite like that. A compass forces us to continually check in. Am I going the right way? Am I going the right way? I'm trying to figure out how to raise my kids. Am I doing this right, God? I'm going along a little further. Am I still doing this okay? I'm not stuck here waiting for my GPS to load until I know the exact route. I ain't moving. I'm not even moving until I know the exact thing. No, that I don't think it works that way. Okay, I think based on what I understand of God and how he views family and how he wants me to live and these things, and I have this in me, that maybe I can take a couple steps and then I'll just check again. Am I still doing okay? Is this still lining up with what you want, God? God is like a compass. When there is no clear answer, and you don't know if it's right or wrong, sometimes it's going to be like that. It's like, is it right or is it wrong? I think there is a question that you can ask, and we can boil it down to this. What is the wise choice? Okay? What is the wise choice? When it isn't right or wrong, you need to decide what is the wise choice in this situation? Maybe just say that to the person beside you. What is the wise choice? Help you remember it. So how do we determine what is the wise choice in the gray areas when we're trying to follow God as our compass? What is the wise choice? Okay, here's some sub-questions you could consider. Things you might want to ask yourself to determine what is the wise choice here. Question one, will it be spiritually beneficial? Okay, this is a good question. If you are a follower of Christ, then you are a spiritual being living out a physical life. Like, you just know, I am deeply connected to my God. This is more than just words on a page. I believe I am spiritually connected to God. So will this be spiritually beneficial if I do this, say this? Don't do that. Don't say that. Whatever. 1 Corinthians 10:23. You say, I'm allowed to do anything. Yay. But not everything's good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything. Woo. But not everything's beneficial. Consider, will this be spiritually beneficial for you? And I just hope you're even thinking right now. In fact, I know oftentimes, you know, you're sitting here and you're like, my mind's kind of wandering. That could be God. I do believe God speaks to us, especially through our thoughts. And he might be just like putting something on your mind right now. Maybe like let that sit there, because maybe that's the gray area that you've been stuck in for a while. And God wants to help you get some clarity right now. Will this be spiritually beneficial? Will it hinder me? Hebrews 12:1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So you could be covered in sin, and that's going to trip you off. That's going to slow you down. But think about this. Use the analogy of a race. Olympic runner, oh, I'm going to do the 100 meters, trains perfectly, totally prepared, ready for the day, steps up to the starting line in combat boots and like the biggest Russian wool jacket, one of Ken's jackets for sure, like one of those big jackets, and he's ready to run. Is he sinning? No. Is he stupid? Yeah. Why would you run with all that excess bulk and weight and all that? No, we need to take off the things that slow us down, make it harder to focus on what we're supposed to do in life. We have no need for all this excess weight and bulk in our life. Question three, what's my motivation? So what is the wise choice? Well, I should probably think about like why. Why am I even making this decision, or why am I considering this certain thing? What's my motivation? Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Yes, freedom. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So okay, you have this freedom to live as God's called you, but like, what are you going to do with that? What are you using it for? Is it just so you can be like, I think this is okay. I can get away with this. How close can I get to the line? Oh, I think I'm all right. I think I'm all right. No. Is this just about you, or is this about thinking about others? What's your motivation? Question four, will it violate my conscience? Will it violate my conscience? Romans 14:23. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you're not following your convictions. So in a gray area where it's like, I'm not sure, but I kind of feel this way. I know there's not necessarily a specific right or wrong, but I really feel this way. If you go against that conviction, to you, that is sin. That's crazy, but Paul is bringing some clarity. And for others, it's not, okay? So do you have convictions in certain gray areas? I'll give you an example. I have never drank alcohol in my life. I never will. God has put that on me at an early age. And I don't know how he protected me from it. I hung out with lots of people who did, but he protected me from it. And I just had this conviction. It's like, nope, I don't even want it. No, I have zero interest. I'm never going to drink. And so I held on to that. Now, there were seasons in my life that little Pharisee in me kind of grew. And I looked at everybody else and I'm like, oh, you're having a burger with your beer? Demon. You know, like not that extreme, but like I really caught myself kind of judging people because my conviction I was putting onto other people. Now, the Bible says don't get drunk. Okay, for sure. But doesn't say you can't enjoy a beer with your burger if you're old enough, okay? But I had to get over that. And I was like, hey, no, this is my personal conviction. I'm not going to throw that on someone else. That's not their problem. But if I were to sit down with you and have a beer, if I'm ever with you and I order a beer, just knock that thing off the table and you remind, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it because I have a personal conviction that I just feel so strongly about. And I can't even fully explain it. I just know if I were to do it, to me, that would be sin. And then the last one, question five, will it glorify God? So as I'm trying to make the wise choice, is this going to glorify God? I mean, ultimately, as Christ followers, that's actually our deepest motivation. I just want to do something that just makes God look better, that makes me a good reflection of him. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So you're going to have to navigate gray areas the rest of your life. Yay! There's going to be things like that. And we do have a compass. God is our compass guiding us and pointing us in right directions through it. And I hope you have that compass, because I want to acknowledge one of the greatest obstacles that we're going to face today. And it's not how good your Wi-Fi signal is, okay? I heard a story recently about a friend's son who was talking about his relationship with AI. And he's like, "Dad, I love using AI. I ask AI everything. Man, I was out for a walk yesterday and I saw a bird flying by. And I was like, how does that bird fly? So I'm like, ChatGPT, how do birds fly? And it told me, and now I know." Okay. He had his answer in a split second. In John Eldridge's new book, just came out this week. I love John Eldridge. It's called Experience Jesus Really. He makes a very unsettling statement in the very first chapter. We are all disciples of the internet. Now, I know you're like, no, I'm a disciple of Jesus, JD, not the internet. Okay, but let me say it this way. You are a disciple of whatever system tutors you. And I'm not referring to the content of what you're learning, but rather the process of how we get wisdom and guidance. Where do you turn on a daily basis for guidance in living? How many times a day do we Google things? How many times a day do I need to look up YouTube on how to solve this problem? Okay? Again, not saying that's bad, but we have been programmed and discipled to do this. We have access to the entire base of human knowledge in a few clicks. Where are the best tacos in Edmonton? What's the latest treatment for acne? What's the best weight loss program? Got it. Internet has discipled our souls to anticipate immediate answers. 3 million answers in 0.003 seconds, no waiting. Think of how that's conditioned us, especially when it comes to faith and relationship with God. ChatGPT, give me 10 suggestions on how to get along with difficult people. What's Reddit's take on if it's okay to do this certain thing? We go there first before we often go to God. I'm going to pause here for a second, because if you are getting baptized, you're amazing, and it's time to go get ready. So stand up. Can we give a big cheer for all the people that are getting baptized today? Yeah! We are proud of you. We celebrate with you. We look forward to, you guys, it's going to be amazing. If you're here and you didn't sign up, but you're like, I think I need to, just go. We've got all the stuff for you out there. We've got changes of clothes. We've got stuff to make you look pretty after. All the things you might need. If you're just like, now's my moment, guess what? Now's your moment. Do it. It's amazing. I get to film all the stories with them. You guys, the stories today are amazing. But so often I hear, I had to work through this excuse, whatever. Sometimes you just got to get through the excuse and be like, if Jesus says it, I'm just going to do it. So get baptized. I'm excited to celebrate with him. But when we pray to God, so we have access to immediate answers all the time, right? But when we pray to God and you don't get an immediate answer in 0.003 seconds, do you get a little frustrated sometimes? Come on, God, are you even listening? Am I doing this right? Do I actually know how to pray? Do I actually have enough faith? Do I know how to hear you? We get frustrated because we don't have immediate answers. Where are my teens at? Teens in the room, okay? You are a generation that has never had to wait for anything. Ask your parents about all the things they had to wait for. And they had to wait while they were walking uphill both ways. But, you know, like, it's amazing. But you don't have to wait for anything. So this isn't even natural to you. You have to really work at slowing yourself down and learning to hear God. Because we expect immediate answers from God. And what's frustrating is we also want clarity. We want clarity. But I'm sorry to disappoint, fellow disciples of the internet. That's not going to give it to you. Okay? ChatGPT, AI, Googling stuff. You're not going to get clarity there. You can find answers for anything. How do I replace brake cylinders? How do I make gluten-free muffins? What's the newest trending dance? Whatever. But what we often find is actually like conflicting information. Take this vitamin to stop your anxiety. Great, I ordered it. Amazon, done. Next day, this vitamin will cause anxiety. Oh, shoot. You know, like, you just can't rely on what is presented to you. Life with the internet just brings vast conflicting information that is actually eroding our confidence of what is true. Is there anything in my life that is true? And if there's mystery or any kind of lack of clarity, we actually become suspicious. Scandal! No, you can't trust it. They're hiding something. If there's any kind of mystery involved, we are immediately dismissive of it. But if you take away the mystery of the kingdom of God, and you strip it of all its power and wonder and beauty, we will never fully understand everything in here. We will never fully understand the mind of God, even though we have been given the mind of Christ and we learn more and more every day. There is so much. Mystery is essential to our walk with God. We are not designed to be omniscient, my friends. We're not designed to be all-knowing. And yet, it's all being thrown at us. It's too much for our fragile hearts and souls to handle. It's too much information. It's too much coming at us, and we don't know what to do with what we have. Back to my friend's son. I learned how birds fly. Cool, you know that, big deal. We all learn lots of things. That might be interesting to you, but really, we just know we can at any moment, like even right now, some of you probably did it. I'm guilty of this lots where it's just like, you think of something, and it's like, I wonder how many years that celebrity, you know, did this, and you just immediately, it's like, you don't even like linger on the thought, or you don't even be like, ah, it's not important. You're just like, I must know right now, because you can know right now. We've trained ourselves. We must know, but it's too much. What if instead of figuring out how birds flew, we just watched birds fly and went, wow, that's really cool. I'm enjoying this moment right now. I did that this morning when I was out for my walk. It's like, there's birds. I'm going to do it. And I just watched them. And I was like, this is way better. I didn't ask my phone how they flew. I don't care. What if instead of bombarding ourselves with information, we actually slowed down and absorbed what's important? What if as we try to navigate the gray areas, instead of sifting through conflicting and shallow wisdom from our world, we embraced our God, the source of true wisdom, and we talked with him about the gray areas in your life? I haven't been able to figure this out. Yeah, but have you gone to God? Maybe you have, and he hasn't got the answers yet. Maybe that's part of the waiting. Proverbs 32:8 says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I got you. He can do that through prayer, through reading your Bible. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So every situation, my gray area, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going back to the Bible or I'm going to pray because I just need a compass. You might not have the exact GPS answer, but you can still point me in the right direction in the midst of all the information going around. I don't need that right now. I'm going back to maybe just reading my Bible or praying. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm on a path. I don't know what it is. There's a billion things saying go this way, this way, this way, this way. But I'm just like, I think this is the right way. God, would you just be my lamp on this path and just guide me down this gray area that I don't know the best way how to talk to my family member about this situation that I got to talk to them this week. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I could sure use some direction. Ephesians 3:17 tells us that Christ dwells in our heart. Man, you got to go and read Ephesians 3, but like Christ dwells, makes his home in your heart as you trust in him. He is our wonderful counselor. Man, I'm a huge advocate for counselors. They have helped me immensely. Use counselors. They're great. But the greatest counselor you will ever find is the triune God, the Trinity, a loving Father who wants to give you fatherly wisdom. Jesus, our wonderful counselor, and Holy Spirit, our guide. And they can give you personalized direction and leading. Personalized direction and leading. I want to read this quote. It's from The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. This is from like the early 15th century. This is amazing. The kingdom of God is within you, says the Lord. Turn then to God with all your heart. Forsake this wretched world, and your soul shall find rest. Christ will come to you offering his consolation or his comfort if you prepare a fit dwelling for him in your heart. He'll bring this to you if you prepare a fit dwelling for him in your heart. His visits with the inward man are frequent. You mean I can have connection with God regularly? Yeah. His communion is sweet and full of consolation. His peace great. His intimacy wonderful indeed. And I want to tell you today, if you're curious about Jesus or you've been following him most of your life, it is possible to interact regularly and intimately with a God who loves you and wants to walk you through your situations. This week, one of the ways I know I hear God, you got to find what works for you. Again, there's not one specific way. I love to journal. I love to write down my questions or whatever. Actually, I don't love to journal. I just have found it works, so I do it. And I'll write down my thoughts. And then I literally just go, God, colon. And then I'm just like, speak to me. And I just start like it's chicken scratch because I'm just writing as fast as my mind just starts to pump out whatever thoughts. And I've just learned they're not my thoughts. I feel God is just guiding my thoughts. Just like, here's what I want to say to you right now. And I write it down. And one of the things he told me this week, he was like, you know what? You need to go out with your son, go to that bench, that special bench, and you need to just let him ask you a question. The end. That's all he told me. No GPS. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, God told me to do it. I'm going to at least try. So we go and we get a treat. We go to our bench where we've had some good discussions. And I'm like, hey, do you have a question for me? And he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And it took a bit. But eventually, as we just had a discussion, something came up. And this question came out and I was like, that was exactly what we need to talk about. And it wouldn't have came about any other way. But if we just learn, I got this gray area. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But I'm going to walk down this path. I'm going to try. I did not ask ChatGPT for 10 tips on how to talk to my son, okay? I didn't need all this other stuff. I just felt like God said something, and I rolled with it. And we can do the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. It's not about all the information out there. It's about dialing in. So why don't we stand? We're going to wrap up. I just want to encourage you guys, okay? Every time you face gray areas in your life, remember that you have a compass. Remember that you are guided. Don't be overwhelmed, disciples of the internet, but instead we choose to go inward where God wants to, Jesus wants to meet us in our heart. He wants to guide and direct us intimately, personalized information. And I end with this scripture, James 1, 5, and 6. If you don't have all the wisdom needed for this journey, then all you have to do is ask God for it. And God will grant all that you need. He gives lavishly, and he does not scold you for asking, oh, you need help, do you? No, he doesn't do that. The key, though, the next verse is equally important. The key, if you want the wisdom for this journey, is that your request be anchored by your single-minded commitment to God. I don't need all this. I want to know this. I want to know you, God. I want your heart. Those who depend only on their own judgment are like those lost on the seas, carried away by any wave or picked up by any wind. Wisdom is not about knowing all the answers. It's about knowing the one who has all the answers. We're going to pray. I'm going to end with this. Let's just close our eyes, and I want to invite you. You know, it has to be a decision in order to walk through the gray areas and have that compass and bypass all this stuff being bombarded at us. It's got to start with this connection at the heart. And I want to invite you to pray with me and pray with all of us, because we do this together, that if you would like to, if today's a day it's like, I want to follow Jesus, that you would hand over control to him. I want to invite you to just pray after me and say, Jesus, today's the day. I say yes to you. Above everything else, I believe you are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. I want to give my life to you. I want to tune into you. Give me the mind of Christ and your heart. Come be in my heart so that I can commune with you and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the next step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.